Parshas Kedoshim is an interesting parsha for many reasons. It's obvious in and of itself. One thing you can point out from the Midrashim, the Medrash Rabbah starts off in the sixth parsha and says that every single one of the Aseres HaDibros are mentioned throughout the entire parsha. You start off the parsha, and as it goes through, each one of the Aseres HaDibros are there. And it makes sense. It makes sense as you walk through. There's a couple of them that maybe you have to like shtim in, you have to like put right in, but like that to shtup in like that. But otherwise, it seems pretty clear where they are throughout the entire parsha. And the connection should be somewhat pashut, should be somewhat obvious when you think this through. In order to be holy, you have to listen to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these things are not always understood on our own. Morally speaking, the definition of what it means to steal from someone would be different from the definition from the Aseres HaDibros. And how HaKadosh Baruch Hu would define how what stealing is, or what thievery, or what murder, or whatever it is. My moral standpoint, what I think to myself, may not be what the Torah says is going to be with us. And for that reason, it's confusing. Lo signov, as we know from the Aseres HaDibros, is not to kidnap. And we understand that. A couple of years ago, I don't know if anybody here was there at the time, Rabbi Tatz came, Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tatz. Does anyone remember when he came? He spoke right here. It was last year when he came in? Okay, Rabbi Tatz, and he asked, it's true, but does anybody remember his main question was what the Aseres HaDibros were? What was the point of them? And he explained that the Aseres HaDibros were general ideas in which the pratim of the Aseres HaDibros are all included, but there are general ideas in which all categories can be fit into these basic 10 categories. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Enochi Hashem Elokecha, so to speak, it was including all the essays. And Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim Alpanai is all the Los essays. And the Lo Sisa is going to be considered something else. And Lo Sisa, thank you. But Lo Sisa is referring to something else. And each one of the Aseres HaDibros is a category that goes into a bunch of other categories that go through. Lo Signov is not to kidnap, but included within no kidnapping is the concept of not to steal. That included within that idea of lo tignov is the idea that's brought in this week's parsha, the pasuk in this week's parsha of lo signovu, of not stealing. Our world, our entire world, I hate to say it, is unfortunately rife with stealing, whether we realize it or not. And there's something that I want to get through. I want people to start thinking about what they're doing so that they realize when it happens, so they at least know that what they're doing is not the best thing to do. I'm going to give a couple examples from the Chafetz Chaim. One time, the Chafetz Chaim was traveling in a wagon. And this is not a Hasidish Maisa. I know, it's there. There's no forest, though, so you don't have to worry. But he's traveling in a wagon. And as he was traveling to a certain town, he was sitting there learning as he usually did. Usually the Chafetz Chaim learned Mishnayos Baal Peh when he's on a wagon from one place to another. No question, this time he was doing that as well. And then the wagon driver stopped. Stopped in the middle of the Chafetz Chaim, realized that the wagon had stopped. Looked up, he sees what's going on. The wagon driver had jumped down from off the, you know, the front of the carriage, jumped down to a certain person's field, grabbed a whole thing of grass, like a big, large thing of hay and grass and whatever it is, threw it inside the feeders of the horses that were pulling the wagon, and then jumped back on, right, and started picking up the reins as if to go. The Chafetz Chaim turned to him, and he said, "What did you just do?" So the man said, "I grabbed some food from the road." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "No, you didn't. What did you really do?" So he said, "What do you mean? I grabbed the food and I put it inside the feeder for the animals." So Chafetz Chaim said, "That's not what you did. That's not what you did. Just say what you did. You stole grass from a person's field and you put it inside the animal's feeder. That's what you did. You stole grass." He said, "No, I didn't steal it. First of all, the guy would never care if I took that amount of grass. Second of all, there's Tsar Balei Chaim involved, and I wanted to make sure that my animals weren't going to be in pain." He said, "Third of all, I'm doing it in broad daylight. It's not like I was embarrassed of taking over from that guy. Number four, it's right by the road. People know that right by the road is not really considered inside your property." He started giving excuse after excuse after excuse. And the Chafetz Chaim said, "It doesn't matter how much you hem and haw. Lo tignovu is stealing from someone else. And you took something that belongs to someone else, even if it's barely worth anything, even if it's not worth anything. Nonetheless, you took something that belongs to somebody else and you put it inside. So that's stealing." The man promised he would never do it again. Halakhically speaking, again, I'm not going to... If I was in Beis Din, this was happening. If a person steals less than a Shava Pruta, first of all, by a Ben Noach, he can be killed for that. That's number one. Number two, by a Jew, what's the halacha? You steal something, you obviously have to return it. If it's less than a Shava Pruta and it doesn't exist anymore because the animal took it, what's the halacha? What happens to such a person? You know what happens? It's possibly Malkus. Possibly Malkus. You get Malkus for stealing. When not? It might not be Malkus, because that comes through a Kares and whatever it is. But there's a possible lav that you're over. Sheish bo Maisa. There's a possibility of getting that. For sure, Makas Margus. But the man promised he wasn't going to do it again. Chofetz Chaim says, based on that Maisa, he said, you know what also could be considered stealing? A person who's concentrating on his own tefillah when he's being paid to be a chazan for the shul. I want you to think of this. This is not stealing, but I'm giving an example. I've never liked it when the person who's doing psicha is spending more time saying brich shmei than the entire tzibur. When your job, again, you're not getting paid, so it's a little bit different, but your job when you're doing psicha is a very simple one. A very simple one. Open up the Aron Kodesh, take out the Sefer Torah, wait for the chazan. You want to say brich shmei with that? Know it baal peh. Know it by heart. But if you're going to do psicha, you can't be waited on. We shouldn't be waiting for you. You should be waiting on the Shulech Tzibor. That's your job. Your job is to be up there, open it up, grab the Sefer Torah, and hold it. If you can say Baruch Shmei, great, but you could say Baruch Shmei up until the Sefer Torah goes onto the Bima itself. Once it hits the Bima, then as a Kashav, you can say Baruch Shmei. But Baruch Shmei can be said all the way up until then. So when you're walking behind the Sefer Torah, after you give it to the Chazan, the Chazan says, God bless Amiti, so then you have your sitter and you say Baruch Shmei as you're going down. In this sense, says the Chofetz Chaim, there's a difference, he says. If a person is being paid to have a good voice and to inspire the tzibor and to make them feel there's something there, then concentrating on your tefillah during that time is stealing from them. You're taking away. If the shliach tzibor is saying, here's what I want to do, well, that's not what the tzibor wants to do. That would be stealing from them, and it's stealing from a tzibor, which is obviously you can never return. You have no way of actually returning it. It's a possibility, he says. Or, he says, when you're the rav of the city and you're being paid to give them a speech on how to do a certain halacha or something like that, and you don't try hard enough to know what the halacha is, you don't put your effort in to figure out the halacha, you basically guess what the halacha is and you tell it over to them. That, he says, is stealing from the tzibor. The tzibor wants you to give them a dvar halacha. And you're not. You're giving them a pilpul. You're saying something misvara, but you're not telling them the halacha that they're looking for. That could be, again, using the tzibor for something that's not there. He says, this is something, both things really, are things that Yom Kippur is not machaper for. Because this isn't bein adam makom, it's bein adam lechaver. You stole from somebody, and there's no way to pay it back. You give back money to the tzibor generally is an okay tikkun, but it's not a real, there's no real tshuva for such a thing. That's the idea. One time, a man was sent by the Chafetz Chaim to go help people do tshuva. And this is the days when there were people, the mashkiach was not somebody who sat in a place and that was that. People would go from place to place. They were magidim, going from place to place to tell over stories and mishalim, to be able to help others, to be able to make sure that they were doing things in the right way. People did that for a living. And the Chafetz Chaim paid a certain person to go from town to town to be a magid, to give them musar and to do whatever they needed to do. So one time, this guy came to a certain city, and he stayed by a gavir's house, by a wealthy person's house. And at the end of the stay, the man went to the gavir to thank him for all of his hospitality, and the gavir handed him a bill for all the things that he had eaten and what he had taken and whatever, as if it was a hotel. So the guy said, I have no problem, said the magid, I have no problem paying you. I have no problem paying you. I'm just shocked because it's the first time anyone has ever asked a shliach of the Chafetz Chaim to pay for his bill. I would have thought that it was a privilege, an opportunity to be able to have. So the guy, what do you think the gavir did at that point? He doubled the bill? No. You know, the gavir took the bill, ripped it up, and said, I didn't realize, no problem, and obviously forgot about it. Years later, this was told over to the Chafetz Chaim, what had happened. And the Chafetz Chaim found out the name of the gavir, went to the Gvir's house and paid what he thought would be the bill of what that guy would have spent over the days or whatever it was that he had spent there with the food and everything. He said, it's a possibility that there's a bit of theft here. Possibility, he didn't want him to feel bad or whatever, so therefore he immediately went there to be able to take care of it, and that's that. Listen, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. The obvious thing, and this is something that's out there, when he would send a letter together with somebody else, instead of sending it through the postage office, instead the U.S. Post Service, right? Instead of doing that, he would give a letter to somebody to hand to someone else. He would still pay for a stamp. He'd go to the mail office, the post office, pay for a stamp, and then rip it up. When someone saw him, they asked him why. He said, I'm not using the Postal Service, but I feel bad. So therefore, I'm going to make sure that the Postal Service doesn't lose out because of me. Now, nowadays, I don't want anybody being machmer on this. Because you could send to the post office, or you could send through UPS, or you could send through so many different sources that this would not be considered stealing from one company to the other, since there are other companies. But back in the day, there was only one way to get your post out, and it was through the postal service that was offered by the government. So the Chafetz Chaim knew that if you were going to do such a thing, that's what you do. In fact, I remember this being a story about someone else, not the Chafetz Chaim, and it was one of the reasons why they said that the Jews are the most honest people in the world, because they do this. That even when they hand letters to other people, they tear up the stamps, so that they're not abusing the government, they're not taking away from the government itself. It's just an unbelievable line. We all know that the Chafetz Chaim owned a little shop. It's funny, because like we think that the Chafetz Chaim owned this for like 60 years. Really, it was only open for about 6 or 7 years, where he had a little shop, and he had this like grocery where, you know, he would open whenever, and then it would close as soon as he made the amount of money that he figured he needed to make for the next 2 days or whatever it was. But he had this little shop. Every day, the Chafetz Chaim went in the morning to check the scales to see if they were completely clean. And then at the end of the day, he would check the scales to see if they were completely clean. He would always check the scales before and after. One day, after the day was over, people had been there all day long, coming in and out, and whatever it was, he saw that the scale had a tiny little bit of flour on it. Enough so that it, I don't know if it changed the scales numbers, but it was enough so that it was different than what it was before. I guess now maybe like 0.07, right, on the scale itself. And to him, the Chafetz Chaim said, that meant we're stealing, we just stole from anybody who might have come into the store today. So his wife tried telling him, you know, it probably happened toward the end, there was a bag of flour that had spilled, it's probably right toward the end, I don't think you took from anybody. The Chafetz Chaim did not take that as an answer. He went to every single house, every person who possibly could have come to him, Jew and non-Jew alike, and gave them each a coin, a kopeck, I don't know what that is, I don't know, let's say a quarter, for the possibility that they may have bought something from him that day, and they may have been cheated out of something. He paid each one of them, and even then he wasn't done. He made a well in the city that everybody donated it to the rest of the city, put it on his tab, and then made everybody pay in order to make sure that everybody was there. Now, I'm not expecting, that there's no expectation of somebody being like the Chafetz Chaim and to have these levels of what Geneva is. The point of these stories are simply put, to be able to understand that this is all around us. None of us would have even thought of these types of ideas of stealing. You wouldn't think that taking away from somebody in such a reaction, this is going to be stealing, this is thief. No, this isn't Geneva. This is just not, this is what people do. It's part of the world. That's what we have to start getting used to. Where is it something that I'm doing something that's a little bit wrong and I just have to get over, or is it something that it's not the right thing to do? I'm going to ask. You see someone else's Gemara on the table. Are you going to take it to look up a Maimer? You have a Maimer Chazal in there. It's mentioned somewhere in that Gemara. Are you going to use someone else's Gemara to be able to look it up? And what would that be? I'm not answering the Kasha for you. I'm asking you, is that considered stealing? Using someone's tefillin. Now nowadays, I don't know if it is way back when. We know that it's brought down in Halacha that you can use someone else's tefillin because he surely would be happy for you to do the mitzvah with his tefillin. But that might only be in a situation where you can't get a hold of the guy. Eliezer Friedman has his tefillin here. They're here all week long. Whether he's here or not, they're here all week long, right? So let's say a guy comes to davening. He sees that Eliezer isn't here, right? So he comes up and he picks up the tefillin and he wants to use it. how easy is it to send a text message to Eliezer and say, hey, Eliezer, can I use your tefillin? Is that a difficult thing to do? So again, Chazal are saying there's no way to get a hold of the guy, so you can use it because you can assume that the person is going to say yes. Well, what if you can get a hold of the guy? What if there's a possibility of getting a hold? Is that the same halacha nowadays? Is that the same thing? Again, I'm just being ma'or of these things. I'm not saying this is a psak. I'm not telling you a halacha. I'm asking you, is that the same thing? Or is that possibly considered stealing? Because even though it's a mitzvah, and he wants you to do a mitzvah with these things, but if he knows you could have gotten a hold of him and you didn't, then maybe he doesn't want you to use his thing. Maybe he wants you to ask. Maybe there's a difference in what people do. Maybe people are a little bit more cleanly than they were back then, right? Maybe there's something. Have you ever, even as a joke, wiped your hands on someone else's clothes? Whether it's on purpose or not. I'll tell you, like, meaning you just clap your back and it happens to be your hand was a little wet and it happens to be you're just like, oh, that's good. I just wiped off my hand at the same exact time. It's his sweatshirt. He's not going to feel the wetness. The wetness is going to go away in literally 5 seconds. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. He'll never even know it's there. But is that considered geneva? And again, we're not talking about where you have to pay back. The heshiv is a gzela wouldn't apply in this case. We're just saying, is that considered enough of a geneva that a ben noach could be killed for? Is that considered under a shavapruta? That's a possibility. I'm not even talking about using your roommate's towel when he's not there, or sleeping on someone else's bed when he's not there, or using something that he has in his room, right, when he's not there and you haven't asked him that question. I'm not even getting into those situations. Those, I think, are somewhat obvious that they should be situations of geneva. But nowadays, again, if you have a phone and the person has a phone, then just being able to text or call or to be able to ask the person so easily, am I allowed, do you mind if I do this? How do we allow ourselves to do so many things without realizing maybe this is coming at someone else's expense? Maybe this is in the category of geneva itself. Again, it's just something to consider. It's just something to consider. When we say that lo signovu is one of these mitzvos, it's mentioned in Parshas Kedoshim, that a person should not steal. What does that entail? We look at it, we read it every time. We say, of course you shouldn't steal. Of course, whether it's geneva or gzela or oshek or whatever it is, of course, there's no way that I'm going to steal. But we don't realize that every day there are situations that we put ourselves in where we might be taking something from someone. And it's to reconsider, to start thinking to ourselves, am I doing the best possible thing? Am I doing this in the right way? Or is this possibly even a tiny bit of a shiloh of geneva? How can I get around that? How can I make sure that that's not an issue, that I can get around this type of an issue? It's a rethinking of how we're going through things during our day. Hopefully that'll allow us to start thinking a little bit more clearly about the next person. And it's no longer about us. We start thinking about the other person that's there. That's the idea behind this. If we do this, I think that'll help us in not only Bein Adam L'Makom, but Bein Adam L'Chavero, a real Bein Adam L'Chavero, to help us understand that the other person has something that he needs over here. We'll stop with this, guys.